have someone next to you who just hold their hands for a moment. Father, we commit this time to you, and the ways of your Spirit are far different than our expectations. And we welcome your Spirit to have his way with us today, and to do a mighty work as only he can do. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. And what I'd like to do right now is to release the word that he poured into my heart this morning. So you just close your eyes and just take in that which has been prepared. You can just put your hands where it's comfortable. I don't want you to be working at anything at this moment. Just rest. But I would ask that you would keep your eyes closed for a little while. Because all I kept hearing in my heart this morning was, unless the Father draws, unless the Father draws, unless the Lord pulls, unless the Father prepares, nothing takes place except flesh. If I gave you all the words that St. Paul talks about when he speaks about the carnal man and the carnal church and the fleshy man and the fleshy church, God is not looking for greater demonstrations of people pushing to make things happen. What he's looking for is willing servants to give of himself. In my background, I wasn't taught about when the Father draws and then to obey what that drawing really creates. I was taught to act and to react and then to do. And wherever the results would land, I would call it God. I found myself later on, as I began to understand what is Spirit and the job of the Holy Spirit as counsel and comforter, began to work in me. One of the very first works that he did was to guide me into repentance. So every time I put a foot in front of the other, there was one more level of repentance. Because I was a control person. I made things happen. I didn't ask for God's permission. I'd say, God, if this is you, as I do it, you'll confirm it. Obviously, it's not God. He's willing to counsel us and comfort us if we begin to acknowledge him as God and allow him to draw us into where he wants us and what he wants from us. So unless the Father draws, nothing happens. Except flesh and more carnality. Now, for a long time, that word carnality I didn't comprehend. But to spell it out for you, it's the carnal mind, it's the mind of man, the mind of flesh, and the reasoning of man, and the reasoning of flesh that we have been taught to use to survive in this realm from the time we were very, very young. And we had to act and react in order to make things happen, in order to keep ourselves alive. And that's okay for a season. the man of faith and the man of flesh do not do well together. They war. The carnal mind cannot comprehend the things of God. Yet, that's what we've been taught. Do I get a little tiny amen?
Amen.
And we say, well, look at your Bible and study the Bible. And if I took you to John chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 39 through 40, Jesus was teaching his people, the Jewish nation, and their leaders, that they spent day in and day out, pouring their hearts out, trying to understand God's word, and he said, but they refused to come to me. The author and finisher. They refused to spend time with the Father. Well, at one season in my life, spending time with my Father would have been torture. So if you think I wanted to spend time with my Father, I've got news for you. I ran the other way. Fathers were a headache. Father figures became a headache. Because all they were was a reminder of pain. They were a reminder of rejection. They were a reminder of control tactics. And then the Lord began his work of wooing me and drawing me to himself. Otherwise, I wouldn't understand what it means unless the Father draws. I believe that the church for 2006 and 2007 is going to be a church where they're going to be in love with each other. Not from control tactics. Not from pushy ordinations. You say, what do you mean by that? Unless the Father draws, it's going to be created by people with good intentions. That's ordaining people into places and responsibilities, including ordaining ourselves into places and circumstances that are not godly. And the construction will fall apart. Jesus was telling his disciples, I need to be about my Father's business, and he was 12. Did he have a heart for the Father? I believe he had a 12-year-old Jewish heart. Definitely, with the knowledge of God's word, but he had already had an impact in his life that was so great that he was actually baffling the wise minds of his time. I've been baffled by some who have a knowledge of the word. But I've been more baffled by those who have a knowledge of their Father. That were drawn by the Father. That had a love flow from the Father that I could then connect to and taste of the goodness of the Lord. Tasting of the goodness of the Lord in his living bread and his living wine is the church of the future. I remember with my religious mind and background that I was safe when I came to the communion table and I had one part understood. When I went to the table, I did it in memory of him. I connected with him. But then one day the Lord began to draw me. My Heavenly Father began to pull on me to have a relationship. Not with the physical bread as much as the spiritual bread. Not with the physical blood as with the spiritual blood. My heart for the house of prayer is that you will be drawn by my Heavenly Father and be released in a place where you will be so in love with him that sin will no longer attract you. Selfishness will begin to fall away from you. Self-worship will be identified so you can see yourself for the first time. And you can see the pedestal underneath your own feet and how you worship at that pedestal, making sure that all the details that you want, me, myself, and I, is an awesome reality in most Christians' lives today. And it's still a part of me. I don't like it. I've asked the Lord to draw me closer to himself so that this would fall away. For the worship of self is idolatry. Worship of doing it my way. Instead of his way. If you would put your hand over your heart before we go into the word, I would ask that you would pray with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I can't do this on my own.
Lord Jesus, I can't do this on my own.
But I'm asking you, my Father, to draw me towards you more and more. That I will taste of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not in the land of the dead. Because this death, this dying of self, has to be a part of what I walk in. And more and more will I understand.
As you draw me to you,
the eternal purpose for my soul, my mind,
my mind, my will, and my emotion.
I need them to be hungry for you. I need a soul hungry for more of you. And then my spirit
will rejoice
in well-doing
on a consistent basis.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's not going to be a work of the flesh. It's going to be a work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So can we go to John chapter 6? St. John chapter 6. And I pray that this word will have an impact on you. And that it will release in you an understanding of what I believe the Holy Spirit was trying to get me to convey to you this morning. And then, you see, if you take this home and you begin to release it in your everyday circumstances, less and less of you, and there'll be more and more of him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The anointed one inside of me, the hope of glory. What does it mean? It means that he's drawing me to be different than what I was, to become what he's called me to be, and then for my destiny to unfold in this earth. and inside the earth suit. Verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, is this word a truth that carried Lazarus? Not. When was Lazarus' last day? Did Lazarus have more than one last day? I think he did. His sisters had a belief that he would rise again on the
third day.
Yeah, on the last day.
On the last day.
Yeah. And are we living in the
last day?
So now, if I remember correctly, when Jesus is standing next to Mary and Martha, he says to them, I am the
resurrection.
I am the resurrection. And I am life. If you believe in me, your brother will live. He didn't say today, but he was meaning it. Then he wanted an act of faith from those girls, didn't he? Have somebody move the rock. And the girls were loaded with what? It stinks. Unbelief, and it stinks. So their carnal personality was, their smeller was giving them a clue, like, hey, how can we even approach that corner of the burial area? Because he already... Yeah, horrible. Did you ever have a dead animal die in your cellar or in your attic? And you, every time you walk into the house, something's wrong here. And you irritate the people around you trying to figure out where it's coming from. Because how many know the sniffer is deceptive? Unless it gets so strong, then you wake up, right? So I'm sure the girls knew as you went up the hill towards the cavern that Lazarus was in. Because undoubtedly, if they knew it was stench, they had already tried it. I remember one time when I still had the business, and in the November type area, the furnaces would be running and so on and so forth, and all of a sudden, every day I would walk into the back door of the office and I'd say, oh God, something is wrong, something is wrong, something is wrong. And I walked around the store and I began to just ask, you know, for help, because I couldn't understand, the stench was so bad. And to make a long story short, after 3 days, it took us 3 days, because now it increased every day because there was more heat coming up. And there was a dead rat on one of the steam pipes. And believe me, on the third day, we had no problem finding it. It was so bad that I didn't know if we would have to be able to even keep the building open. So that reminds me of the girls and their carnal ability to believe God for resurrection. They had to bypass their smell. They had to bypass their natural mind. They had to bypass all the things that were understood by them from the time they were little girls and say, drop it, girl. Let's get somebody to move the stones. Did they have help? Could they move the stone by themselves?
No.
No. It was huge. I remember being in Israel, and one of the shockers was the size of the stones for the burial chambers. And I'm not kidding. Some of them are 8-9 feet high. And they literally roll downhill into a gully.
And once they're at the bottom, there's no way that a little woman, or even two little women, are going to be able to push that stairway. It's not going to work.
You're going to need some heavy-duty pushing and coordinated effort.
And I believe that's the work of God.
As he draws you and me towards himself, you're going to need some heavy-duty pushing from the intercessors in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You're going to need some intercessors to make you awaken to things of God about yourself, to identify where you've been worshiping. When I worshiped myself, I couldn't see myself. I was blind to my failures. But God provided some helpers. And they weren't always very pleasant. They were a little pushy. Sometimes they were a little pointy about how I was an irritation to them.
Amen.
And I was a little edgy. Didn't like their pushy attitude. I didn't realize they were pushing me somewhere. Trying to get me into freedom. And I remember one day, I went into the office. Their message had been, it had been a real doozy. As far as I was concerned, it wasn't God at all. But it was pointing to some of my selfishness. And I went into the office and I said to the girls, can I talk to you girls? And I'm not going to tell you who girls were, because it didn't matter. They were two anointed ladies. And they said, well, if the shoe fits, wear it. That's the last thing I wanted to hear. There just might be a few pushy people in your life, and they're going to push you to make you see yourself. And that's God. And when you see your sin, you can do something about it. Yes? Now, does that mean that God judges the sinner? No, it means God loves the sinner and he identifies it for him so that he can do something about it so he can get rid of the what? Get rid of the stench. Get rid of the grave stuff. Amen? Because you see, I cannot worship my heavenly Father unless my Father draws me. And when the girls were drawn to go up that hill, I think they went backwards. I can just see them. Yes, Lord, we're going to show you where the stone is, and we're going to get some helpers, but just don't have us turn around because the stench is too bad. Many times, I went on my knees backwards. What was I going backwards for? Because I could not face me. I couldn't identify how I had been so blind. But when the blinders were removed, I had to face me, and it didn't want to. Come on, there must be at least a couple of aliens up. Okay? I don't like facing my weakness. But when my weakness is identified, I can then do something about it and get rid of that. Yes. It's called sin, by the way. And we don't need to be afraid of it, because Jesus already dealt with it.
Amen?
Amen? So again, 44. Well, you might back up to 43 right now. Let's be a good place. Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus said. Oh my God. If they were all perfect in the house of prayer, we wouldn't have any grumblers. True or false? Well, here's the word from the Lord for today. Stop grumbling among yourselves. Why? Because self wants to what?
Grumble.
No. Of course not. My self doesn't grumble. My neighbors grumble, but I don't grumble. Come on, girl. Come on. I never grumble. Now they grumble.
Amen.
Well, does it fit?
Amen.
Does it stink a little?
Yeah.
And are you going to have help to get rid of it?
Yes.
See, that's the body of Christ. Now, sometimes when the body comes together, we have an expectation of our brothers and our sisters. Come on.
Amen.
Expectations will cause you into reasonings.
Expectations are part of the carnal mind working on you and me, trying to get everybody perfect like I am.
That's part of the worship of.
And what am I trying to show you today? We've got days coming up on a calendar that God has asked us to come to Him and to take time with Him, quality time, and to get to know Him better. And to get to understanding. So that we can become free and walk away from the death chamber. And the place of sin. Stop growling among yourselves. Jesus answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Did Lazarus wait till today to be raised? No. Do you need to wait for another 120 years or 1,000 years to be raised?
No.
Thank you. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught. They will all be taught by their own minds and their teachers and their television programs and books and...
No.
And great will be your children's peace.
Oh, really?
That's what it says.
Well, while they're being taught by the Lord, and you're off the hook, you're not going to be so frustrated, are you? While you're on your knees and you're saying, okay, Lord, teach my son. The son won't get irritated and your knees might get a little sore. But you'll have a miracle under construction, won't you? Mm-hmm. You see, praying for the ones that have abused you. Praying for the ones that have mistreated you. Praying for the ones that can't stand you because they think so highly of themselves that they really believe that you are just one of those things that should be left to burn on one of the steam pipes of heaven. What am I speaking today? I'm speaking that my Father loves you and me sufficiently to draw us to Himself. So that yourself, the one part of you that likes to have full attention and full glorification, becomes less and less, and Jesus becomes more and more. And while you're interceding for them, especially your children, and sometimes they're spiritual children, aren't they? Yeah. Sometimes they are carrying you, and you have no clue. Amen? And while they're carrying you, you should be carrying the ones that God gives to you. How many have had at least one person come into their minds during the past week and they interceded for them? Put your hand up if you've had at least one person. Put your hand way, way up and then look around. Look around. Now look at it. I didn't coerce anybody. But I know that I know that that's the body ministry. Okay. How many remember a few weeks ago, Rita had a vision of a young lady and her mother, right? And she spoke it out at the end of the service, and we asked the Lord for extra grace for that family. Now that permission was given to Rita. Now I really believe in my heart, I don't want to give the name because, you know, it's not important to give the name. What is important is her obedience to give out that word, okay? A few days later, like within 10 days, I met that young lady. I ran face to face with this young woman. And the tears were rolling out of her eyes when I said to her, do you remember a lady that used to go to a specific church and sat in a particular place? She had a vision of you and your mom. Are you two okay? And the tears rolled out of her eyes, and she says, Mom is not well at all.
And I need prayer, and I'm so glad you're here. Being in a public place, we did the best we could with the circumstances we had, but I did anoint her. And we look forward to connecting with her when the Lord says it's right. But you see, one person in the body getting a nudge from the Father to intercede for one of their little girls and the mama of that little girl coordinated the next effort that God was on the job, releasing me to run into this woman, not by accident, but a Holy Ghost appointment. A Holy Ghost appointment. Unless my Father, God, drew me into that area where this woman happens to work. And by the way, while we were praying and doing what we needed to do together, no customers came. There was total freedom. And she says, oh, this is awesome. And we had a couple hugs and told her that she needed not to worry, that the Holy Spirit had intercessors working on her behalf. Now, to me, that's the Father drawing. That's the Father teaching. That's the counsel of the Holy Ghost. Now, you have some of this, and sometimes we're so busy we don't pay attention to it. Why? Because we're focused on my needs. And the Lord says, look out there. Give of yourself. Pray for your brothers that you may be healed. James chapter 5. Pray for one another that you may be healed. So what happens? As you pray for the one that is in need, your healing takes place. Your focus is no longer on you. Your focus is on the body of intercessors. It's on the body of Christ. There are times that I see faces in the morning. I see many faces sometimes. And as I go to the Lord, I say, okay, is this one okay? Is that one okay? Is there anything I need to do, Lord? And sometimes yes, and sometimes no. Just to connect. Just to intercede is all that's needed to do. Okay. Let's go back to 45. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to Jesus. Amen? No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. So a believer has everlasting life. Try it out. Tell your neighbor. You've got everlasting life. Tell another neighbor. It's inside of us. And I'm giving it out. Amen. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and... oh, never die. So this bread that we have was designed by God to represent the one that is full of life.
Life.
And eternal life. Now, I remember having discussions with, I would call them part-time believers. They believe that God is real when they're in church. But when they're out there in the world, they kind of lose their Holy Ghost connection and they have to go back inside a particular building in order to get holy. They have no clue they're full of holes. And the unbelief is so prevalent in their everyday life that when you talk to them about someone who has passed away, passing away is not dead, is it? It's passing to a different place. How many have had dreams about loved ones?
Thank you.
Dreams are places where you and I can connect. And God has a way of teaching us through dreams. And sometimes He shakes us in dreams. Sometimes He'll rattle your cage. Yes? Why do we use that expression, "He'll rattle my cage"? It's because we feel so boxed in. We're not free yet. But see, the Lord, when He's teaching us about eternal life being a present reality, He's really saying, this flesh means very little. Oh, we care for it, and we should. But all that we have gained in spirit, soul, and body will definitely be a part of our future. But as we come into the next level of our development, we will be still connected to the bread of life. We will still be connected to the feasts of God. We will still be connected to each other. We will still be connected to the body of Christ, the head, which is Christ. So today, looking forward to see how the Holy Spirit wants to coordinate the drawing of the Father. That draw needs to be a reality in every one of our hearts. And when we connect to this table today, I would ask that you would come to the table with a question on your heart. Lord Jesus, would you just reveal another aspect of the bread of life? Would you reveal another level of the blood of the Lamb that cleanses me from all unrighteousness? Would you tell me more about resurrection that's happening inside of me today? Would you tell me more about how I'm coming away from my grave clothes? Would you tell me more how the saints will push the stone away? Would you tell me more? Counsel on the power of the unity of the body and what it means to me to be a part of the body of Christ. Do I get any amens?
Amen.